Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 18th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature an interview with Kevin Nephew, the president and CEO of Seneca Gaming Corporation, on how his experience of working for the state of New York aided him when he took over leadership of the gaming arm of his tribe. The GGB podcast is sponsored by IGT's Money Mania, the fast-awarding linked jackpots that have hit over 250 times and counting. Give your players what they came for with IGT's top-performing themes. Bring IGT's newest wide-area progressives to your floor and get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information. The Seneca Nation took many years to get into the gaming industry, but once it did, it jumped in with both feet. The tribe operates four casinos in western New York, and until Kevin Nephew was appointed to lead the tribe's gaming division, no native Seneca had ever been in charge. After 20 years of working for the state of New York in finance, Nephew is uniquely qualified to operate the gaming enterprise, as a large part of his job is government relations. Prior to becoming CEO, he served as Vice President of Organization Improvement and Development, where he developed a continuous improvement program that has been the pillar of the organization, with over 1,000 employees having studied under it. He spoke with GGB Managing Editor Jess Marquez upon being informed he was named one of GGB's 25 people to watch in December.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Global Gaming Business Podcast. I am Jess Marquez, and I am thrilled to be joined this morning by Kevin Nephew, President and CEO of Seneca Gaming Corporation, who also happens to be one of our annual 25 people to watch for 2023. Kevin, first off, congratulations, and second, how are you doing today?
Well, Jess, thank you very much. First of all, it's always great to hear from you, and I'm doing well today. It's a little rainy up here in Niagara Falls, but we're doing well.
It's better than snow, right? Or ice, or a mix of both.
Well, it's interesting. Actually, over the last couple of weeks, we had our first dealings with snow, and you know, our snow coming off the snow belt in Buffalo is probably known across the across America.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to get into, obviously, you know, your time in the gaming industry and kind of, you know, how that's gone. But I kind of want to start before then and go back a little bit. So before you came into gaming, you had a lot of experience, over 20 years of experience in high level finance positions with New York State. How did that experience, do you think, prepared you for your time with Seneca and kind of beyond? What were some of the big takeaways that you think helped prepare you for that?
Yeah, you know, Jess, that's a great question, and one that, you know, I take a lot of pride in. About 1992, I had, up to that point, I had spent my time, you know, working with the Seneca Nation. I'm actually a proud member of the Seneca Nation, member of the Wolf Clan of the Seneca Nation. But at that time, I had come back, I had worked with the Seneca Nation, but I got an opportunity to work with New York State in a department called the Division of the Budget. And I can't say enough about what a great opportunity. I was able to learn a lot about, just not about the governmental workings, but it was very analytical. And that's really what I think grew my roots. So as I went through the analytics part, you know, my background was an MBA. I was, you know, blessed to receive that at Columbia University. And then I was able to leverage that when I went to state government and really use a lot of my financial background. And as I went through, that actually really helped to accelerate and propel my growth as I went through New York State. And I was able to work on a couple initiatives where we were able to save, you know, millions of dollars for New York State. And I always was something, you know, a teacher of mine, I always say my mentor, she always said, well, you know what? You never have to worry about where you're going if you're saving more than they spend on what they pay you every year. And I used to laugh, and I used to think to myself, well, I wish I could get a little piece of that. But the thing I always remembered was, I think it got me on this path of thinking, you know what, when you look at things, how do you make them better, faster, and smarter? And that's something that I always looked at. And I realized now, as I've moved through my career, that's what it always was about, is taking processes, especially work processes. And that's where it started. you know, there's two pieces, right? You can always come up with how do you make them better, faster, and smarter. But then I realized there's one other little component up there. How do you also sell them? And that becomes important, because that's really in regards to any organization. You can have the best idea, but if you can't get organizations to accept them, then they'll just fall by the wayside. So I think as that as I went through that with my time in state government, I was able to work through, say, the Division of the Budget. I actually worked on the task force on information resource management under the governor's office, and ultimately with the Office for Technology at the time. It was just a great time. I made great friends, great relationships, great mentors. And they had some really unique programs that actually I tried to replicate, you know, through times. One of them was a leadership council, which is something that we really look at here, is how do you grow leaders? And I think when you can pick off the best of the best, it's always something you want to do. And I think that's something I try to do as I move forward. Definitely. So hopefully that gives a little bit of background. But the financial piece, I'll tell you, I always believe, you know, that the financial component is very important, you know, almost to the point of it almost becomes that lifeblood of any organization. So you have to have a thorough understanding, you know, structure. Just like your org charts are the skeleton, you know, every piece of the organization becomes important. But that growth that when I was able to really work for, it was close to 22 years. And it was great. And the good news is a lot of those contacts I still remain in contact with now, because you build those friendships that last forever.
Definitely. And you touched on a few different things there that I kind of want to get in a little bit more detail as we go along. Firstly, as your position with Seneca Gaming, you mentioned that you are a member of the Seneca Nation, and you're actually the first Seneca Nation member to lead the company. What does that mean to you? And what are some of the, in your opinion, what are some of the more important aspects of running a tribal gaming organization?
Yeah, well, you know, first and foremost, you know, I really thought, you know, I'm honored. I feel blessed every morning I wake up and, you know, I kind of give thanks for the opportunity to really lead a world-class organization for the Seneca Nation. You know, as a member of the Seneca Nation, it's interesting. I had left and I, you know, done work off from the territory further away. But there was, you know, a day I woke up and I said, you know, I really need to come back and I really need to give back to my people. And that's really led me on that path to come back. Not in my wildest dreams, you know, would I have thought it would have led to this path. But I think when I was able to come back to Seneca Gaming Corporation, you know, I had, once again, it's a great environment, had great teachers, great mentors within the company. And I was able to, once again, kind of take that approach of better, faster, smarter. And when you do that, it creates those efficiencies and people pick up on that. And before you know it, you know, I was actually given the opportunity to run our continuous improvement program at Seneca Gaming Corporation. And we saved over $1 million in efficiencies in the first year we did that. And those are great things. It's funny, I always say to folks, well, you know what, people start to, they may not think that savings are the most important things in the world. But when you start to pick up a man or a few multi-million dollars in savings, people say, well, that's pretty good. And it's not really just about savings, because it's not always what's important of just saving money. But can you do it better? You know, because ultimately, especially here in the gaming industry, you want to ensure that you give your guests a world-class gaming experience. And that's something we've done. Ultimately, what's really important for us too is every day, you know, that's something our team members have become very proud of, is that every day we realize that the revenues we provide go back to the Seneca Nation of Indians. And that's a really wonderful thing, because from that, we're able to see the programs that come out of there, regardless if it's education, health, social, whatever programs come out of that, really for the betterment of the Seneca people. And it's a really beautiful thing. And two is, you know, we're starting down a program called Stand with Seneca currently. We're actually celebrating 20 years, our 20 year anniversary. And, you know, for 20 years to be in the industry is a beautiful thing, but to also celebrate what we brought to Western New York. You know, sometimes folks forget that before it was even Western New York, it was Seneca territory. And, you know, right now, let's celebrate the beauty that the Seneca people have brought here and what Seneca Gaming Corporation celebrate the economic benefits we provided to Western New York. That's a beautiful thing as we come together in 20 years.
Absolutely. I think that's very well said. And, you know, no, obviously no disrespect to, you know, commercial operators and beyond, but I've always felt that, you know, tribal organizations are extremely community, you know, community based. And I've always have a deep appreciation for that. You mentioned, you know, one thing that you mentioned that I want to kind of touch on is the continuous improvement program, which when I was reading about it, I found that very interesting. Can you talk a little bit about, like, what was the impetus behind that? And also, you know, more broadly, kind of, what do you think are some of the qualities that make for good leadership?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, now you hit on the one thing that, you know, we always have that one thing that you always stick with, and it always becomes that one thing that you love. And I think I've become a student of leadership. Mm. But I also think, you know, what we always have this little tool that we go through about what does leadership mean? And I've come to realize there's no true, like, black and white definition of leadership. And so when we went back to and we went through continuous improvement, I realized that the beauty of continuous improvement, while it really looked at the processes of making better, faster, smarter, what really I started to realize is it develops leaders and leadership within your organization. One of the beliefs we have culturally is that within an organization and within a society, everyone is the same height. That's a cultural belief we have that comes out of the Seneca people. And when that is, that everyone has a voice. And it's something that I remember as I came through the organization starting to think about. And it's something we taught to as our folks come in, even through our new higher orientation. We taught that everyone has a voice. Everyone's able to speak. But it's amazing that sometimes people get into work and they find, I don't want to speak. They've lost their voice. So one of the things we're doing now is culturally trying to find that. And continuous improvement really did that. I always use this example where we had a steward at one time was struggling. Was advised to kind of follow the wrong process, you know, was able to find the right process. We were able to listen to his voice, be able to take and improve his work process. And I think, you know, at the time, you know, he'd probably been working at the same duties for 7 years. And it was a beautiful thing to just see them wake up and believe, hey, I have control over this job. And ultimately to empower folks to realize that they're the people at the front lines who deliver the services. They know better than anybody else what that is. Now, don't get me wrong, you can't just keep doing that for wherever and have everyone run off and do what they want. So one of the big things too is we make it data-driven. So in that instance, we work with the team member. We're able to identify, you know, what was the error rate before? What was the error rate after? And then actually document and show how we improved the process. Because one thing I also learned, and it was kind of weird, going back to what you said about prior experience, was I always thought to myself, if you're spending somebody else's money, I think that person's going to want to know what you're doing with that money and how you're spending that money. And I think it's just the common sense thing is you want to automatically be thinking, I'm going to invest in, say, a new solution. But I also have to realize how am I going to show and substantiate that my investment truly delivered what we said it would. And I think that's what, you know, part of continuous improvement really does. It's just not about better, faster, and smarter. It's also looking at data-driven decisions. It looks at leadership. And one of the things we always talk about is change, you know, and the change cycle. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but it's where, you know, to whenever an organization comes through change, people are like, well, it'll just change. No, it doesn't. There's actual processes where people, you have earlier adopters, you have people who actually have to be shown to change. And I think as we went through and we started to do that with the organization, It's truly, I thought it was beautiful. It's something I think once you get involved in continuous improvement, you never let it go. And actually, I was blessed with able to take a program with four of our Seneca leaders, our young emerging leaders. And as part of that program, we were able to work on them as a leadership pool, develop them with mentors, work with the University of Buffalo. So we work locally with our universities and educational institutions. And we were able to get all four of them, including myself, certified as Six Sigma certification. So it's really looking for growth and always looking to, you know, how do you up that game? And it's something, I think when you challenge people, they start to challenge other people. And before you know it, the organization's starting to change. And I think that's what we really are looking for.
Nonstop thrills meet fast awarding jackpots. Money Mania keeps hitting, now with over 250 jackpots awarded. IGT has expanded the Money Mania portfolio by adding two more themes. All four themes now feature two wide area progressive jackpot levels, an in-game player awareness messaging, an exciting look and respin jackpot bonus, and a bank-wide wheel bonus. These games are built for long play sessions and maximum excitement. Get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information.
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, obviously you guys are in the great state of New York, which is one of the more unique gaming landscapes in the country. And one of the, you know, just a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff going on in the New York gaming landscape. And just the last 10 years, obviously, it's changed so much and it appears to be changing more, you know, as we speak. But what are some of the challenges of, you know, leading such a large organization, especially in an industry and a market that evolves in such a quick pace?
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, I think just gaming overall, you know, and especially in New York State, we've seen it with the advent of online sports betting, which we just saw over the last, you know, year or two. That you know, rocked a lot of what the thoughts were here. But I think that's one thing we try to do. We operate out of Niagara Falls, out of Buffalo, and Salamanca. So we operate three different properties. They're, as much as we brand them under Seneca Gaming Corporation, they're unique and we have to be somewhat agile. And I think that helps us as we move forward because without a doubt, to your point, we're anticipating the growth, especially with technology as we go forward and especially in gaming. You know, there's been the advent of already of online sports betting, but there's discussions of online gaming itself. But I think also, you also have to look inside, right? So we see the environment change, but also realizing sometimes it's also looking internally to make sure we're making our investments into our processes. So it is a world-class experience, regardless if that's being able to automate our bookings as people come into our hotel. Sometimes people focus just on the gaming, but it's the experience itself overall. It's just not on the gaming side. It's what is that experience and how does somebody come to your facility and want to come back? And that's all of it. And I mean, it's sometimes the other day, you know, we had a long discussion and it was a simple thing where, you know, people flash the card to get up on the elevator. And I was in with a guest and the card didn't work. And I thought, well, if I was that guest, I would be furious. And so it's kind of like, well, how do we continue to make that process better? So something like that, how do we make sure we can address those? So it becomes that world-class experience where somebody says, hey, you know what? Maybe there was an issue, but it got resolved immediately when we took care of that. But I think technology, it's going to be one of those pieces. And, you know, as much as we also talk about the technology, and it's been something we talk about across the industries, cybersecurity, and making sure we keep our infrastructure, our IT infrastructure safe as we go forward. And I think that hits across, you know, the world, not even just New York State. But without a doubt, just to what you were saying, I think we're anticipating to try to keep our organization as agile and as lean as it can be, so we can respond as we go forward.
Definitely, definitely. I know it, I'm sure, like in the course of your, your duties, I'm sure you have to project long out into the future, 5-year plans, 10-year plans and beyond. But for our purposes, we're looking at at 2023. And so for the next year ahead, in the immediate future, kind of what are you most looking forward to? And, what are some of your goals for Seneca Gaming?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you've touched upon some of the things we've begun, and we hope to continue and actually grow those. So first of all, we're going to start off the year celebrating 20 years. Nice. And not only is it really a celebration of 20 years, thank you. I'm smiling, as we go through it. But another blessing that we've come through is, so we have talked earlier that I was the first Seneca member named as president and CEO of Seneca Gaming Corporation, and feeling very blessed. But we had the opportunity just recently where we actually, our three properties at Buffalo Creek, Niagara Falls, and Allegheny, we all have enrolled Seneca members as a general manager. So being able to really build and develop our Seneca team members to not only be working as with the organization, but now leading the organization. And I feel very blessed to bring that. And it was something, 2 years ago, I was able to, given the opportunity to become president and CEO, I had a few of these items. I said, how do we start to get down that path? And that was part of it. How do we develop our workforce? And then, as we go into 2023, developing our leaders, developing the leadership. And that goes beyond just the Seneca people. It's all 3,000 of our team members. So that's another piece. Developing our leaders as we go into 2023. We also are looking towards more community involvement. It's interesting as a corporate structure, we know we focus on our gaming, but we also realize we have an investment in Western New York. The Seneca people have always been part of Western New York, will always be part of Western New York. And it's interesting that, as we come here to celebrate, what our commitments have been to the community, and highlight that as we go through initiatives like Stay with Seneca as we go into 2023. And then our investments into our facilities. We have planned upgrades at some of our food and beverage facilities at our Allegheny property specifically. But we're also looking at the infrastructure as we move forward. And then third, you had mentioned, we're looking at innovation and what new services can we roll out as we enter 2023. So we're super excited. It starts off with the 20-year celebration. But one of the things we always said is, how do we ramp that up? And how do we continue as we go into the next 20 years? And that's always been something that I think is important. I kind of didn't touch upon it earlier, but I think it's very critical to our Seneca people, is that we look for a 7-generation vision of the decisions that we make today. How do those impact the next 7 generations? So to your point, Jess, as we enter 2023, that's really our focus, just isn't on 2023, but really that focus for the future as we move forward. And you hit upon probably, making sure that we continue to monitor the environment within New York State and overall in the gaming industry, as well as our non-gaming amenities also.
Definitely, definitely. Well, Kevin, that's all I had for you today. Thank you so much for joining me and doing this. I really appreciate it. And myself, and I'm sure everyone else around the industry, will be watching closely for Seneca, what Seneca has in store for 2023.
I hope to get a couple surprises to you, my friend.
Awesome.
Very good, Justin. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT, where Money Mania's fast-awarding linked jackpots have hit over 250 times and counting. Give your players what they came for with IGT's top-performing themes. Bring IGT's newest wide-area progressives to your floor and get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information. To learn more about the Seneca Nation, visit ggvmagazine.com, or Indian gaming in general, visit tribalgovernmentgamingmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGV News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggvnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGV Podcast.